she was less than 3 yards from Mary, noting that Mary was a few inches taller. And Christy already knew the supernormal power and strength of the whole family.
Gaia, help grant me again the power of the Earth Mother to fight for good against evil. Give me the power.
Kreia's a feudal slut. Pagan superstition. Fight me or die. Fight me and die.
Christy could never tell how the power entered her body, but she could feel it, flooding like liquid fire through the arteries, the veins, along every tiny capillary. She opened and closed her fingers, rejoicing in the surge of strength.
Die, bitch!
Mary hadn't a shred of doubt what the outcome would be. During her unnaturally long life, she'd killed with her bare hands dozens of times. There was no difference to her in breaking the neck of a full-grown man or a newborn baby. And the redhead would be just another corpse on the road.
No!
As Mary reached for her, Christy ducked and kicked out as hard as she could with her left leg, remaining perfectly balanced, striking the vampire in the center of her right knee. The chiseled silver point of Christy's elegant boot smashed the delicate joint into shards of splintered bone and torn cartilage. Mary toppled sideways, tripping over the unconscious boy, falling full length on the wooden floor. She rolled over, sprawling by the legs of a squat, heavy marble-topped table.
This is for all the dead at your hands.
Christy kicked again, snapping the woman's spine, cutting the nerve pathways to her arms and legs. Mary lay helpless on her back, staring up at Christy. Ryan and JB arrived at the top of the final flight of stairs, their weapons drawn, just in time to see the last act of the murderous drama. Christy reached for the massive table with her left hand and pulled at it, tilting it effortlessly on two legs, so that it hung over the vampire like a great stone.
Goodbye.
No!
The great slab of marble crushed Mary Cornelius's skull.
You used the power lever. Quick, come down before you pass out.
Christy shook her head, the fiery hair tumbling loose and free across her shoulders. She smiled at Ryan.
No need. I don't know why, love, but this time the power came and now it's gone and it hasn't harmed me. I feel terrific.
Where's Dean?
Just over there by... He was there just before.
Norman.
The friends were together again. Doc and Mildred recovered. With Ryan leading them, they'd gone back through the dining hall, past the kitchen, toward the main front door to the mansion.
Norman, let the boy go and you don't get hurt.
The diminutive figure was wearing a flowing dressing gown of lilac silk, belted in tightly at the waist. He was half carrying Dean, who seemed to be coming around from his drugged sleep, and holding a long carving knife to the side of the boy's throat. The front door was partly open, and he stood in the gap, almost completely covered by Dean.
Steady. Don't go doing anything foolish that we could all regret.
You murdered Mary and Thomas. But Melvin has escaped you, and he'll take his revenge for his brother and sister.
Out of the corner of his eye, Ryan noticed that Jack was no longer with them.
And he will make me master of the village, so that I can pick and choose anyone that takes my fancy. Power to rule.
All power corrupts, Norman.
Well, then I guess I'm ready to be corrupted. Ready as I'm ever gonna...
Jack's throwing knife struck Norman on the side of his neck, just below the ear. Blood pattered on the stone flags, smoking in the cool night air. Norman's grip on Dean had gone, and the boy slipped away, taking a few faltering steps to Mildred, who had moved quickly to support him. Norman was down on his knees, with a comical look of surprise on his face.
How's Dean?
Fine, Dad. Tired and been sleeping and had double strange dreams of... Can't remember.
I'll look after him. If Granddaddy Melmoth's out hunting, we'd best get moving toward the redoubt.
Which is the best way?
Jack pointed out of the door to the right.
Go all the way around, by the clifftop. Pick up the trail.
Where do you think Elric's gone?
Probably trying to track down his big brother, Melmoth. Mildred's right. Sooner we make the next jump out of here, the better. I'll go first. Skirmish line. JB is rear guard. Mildred and Dean in the middle. Keep on triple red.
The night was cold and damp, with a fresh breeze from the north that sent tattered clouds scudding across the face of a hunter's moon.
Dad, I have learning to do. Stop being so stupid. Learning about drinking drug drinks and stuff.
Yeah. You had a lesson today. There are others to learn, right, Doc?
Yes. Life's curriculum for all occasions, you could say, my young friend. And other bits of book learning could be useful. Someday, perhaps.
The cliff fell away sharply, dropping to the foaming river way below. Ryan noticed that the old iron-spiked fence that marked the edge of the fall had rusted and broken down in several places.
Keep away from the brink.
When he turned back, Elric Cornelius was standing a few paces in front of him. Apparently the youngest of the vampire brood, his slender frame was still dressed in the beautiful black suit, covered by the black satin cloak with a scarlet silk lining, though his clothes were smeared with gobbets of mud and trailing cobwebs. He appeared to be unharmed. In the moonlight, his stark white face seemed to shine with a supernatural phosphorescence, his eyes glowing at Ryan like embers.
Mary dead, and poor Thomas destroyed. Both gone beyond any hope of rebuilding. You've been clever. Nobody in 100 years has been as clever. But you are not clever enough for myself and Melmoth.
Where is he?
Oh, he'll be here. I sent him word.
Thought transmission? Is that it?
Mildred let go of Dean's hand, and now stood facing Elric in a shootist's pose, slightly sideways, her hand hovering over the butt of her target revolver.
It would take too long, Doctor, even for a relatively sophisticated brain like yours. There are concepts in genetic communication that you would never understand. The language of it would leave you struggling. But if you wished...
He stalled it for time.
Right, I feel that too. He knows Melmoth is on his way.
Yes, with most of Brampton. It's not who wins the skirmish, it's who wins the war.
We're doing fine. And we're about to blast you to eternity.
You know how pointless your leaden missiles are against us. No, I think not.
Mildred drew the ZKR and aimed it at Elric.
Fire away.
The first round hit Elric through the center of his left eye. The second bullet was just as perfectly aimed, hitting him in the right eye.
Heal that, sicko.
He staggered back. His hands were pressed to the wounds, and he was backing away toward the rickety iron fence at the edge of the cliff.
Going?
The wind seemed to catch the full cloak, tugging at it like a billowing sail. Elric fought for his balance, stumbling into the fence, spiking himself on a jagged stump of rusting iron that drove into the center of his chest.
Going?
The pre-dark fence collapsed under his weight, and he tumbled into the void. They'd walked only a little way down the rough track from the Cornelius Mansion when they saw the pinpoints of light, winding toward them like a fiery snake from the outskirts of the Ville of Brampton.
Melmoth's rent-a-mob. Got them all charged up to come get us.
You think he's leading them himself? Can you see anything of him, Jack?
Jack stepped to the edge of the trail and stared intently down into the gloom at the advancing crowd.
No. The light's about right for seeing good. No Melmoth. About 30 or 40 coming.
We have the firepower to take the whole lot out, don't we, Dad?
Sure we do, Dean. But I kind of draw the line at butchering 3 dozen fairly innocent people. It's not their fault that the family had them as victims for so long.
I fear that I can't perceive any reasonable way around them. Am I not correct in my assumption that this is the only road out of here?
You're not wrong, Doc.
Ryan joined Jack at the edge of the graveled highway and peered down the sheer face of the cliff. He could still make out the pallid corpse that lay smashed to pieces beneath the broken fence.
I reckon there might be a way down here.
No, absolutely not. I'd rather do the slaughter of the innocents, if you don't mind too much, Ryan Carter.
It'll be fine, Mildred. It'll take us a little time, but we'll keep quiet and pressed in while the folk of Brampton go rampaging past us. By the time they find we're gone and the house is empty, we'll be at least a couple of miles away from Brampton.
When they discover the 2 permanently dead vampires up there, they might all decide not to come after us anyway.
It's a possibility. But with Melmoth still around someplace, the fear might be too bone deep for them to rebel.
Ryan looked down the trail again.
If we're gonna do this, then we should be moving. Don't want anyone down there to spot us going over the side. It'd be like shooting fish in a barrel if we're spotted.
True.
JB had his scattergun slung over his shoulder, the Uzi in his hand. Ryan hefted the Steyr in the same way and led his companions off the track, down onto the face of the cliff. In daylight, it would have been a relatively simple climb, as there were plenty of hand and footholds, and the rock itself was in good condition, with very little crumbling. At night, in the fitful light of the cloud-wrecked moon, it was incredibly hazardous.